The sports desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batista, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. It is Thursday, November 18th, 2021. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 228 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to the Cintas Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. I am sitting courtside. Had an unbelievable seat for this one, but I'm coming to you a couple hours removed from Ohio State's first loss of the season. Earlier this evening, number 19 Ohio State came down to the Cintas Center here at Xavier University and trailed from the opening possession and never had the lead from that point. Xavier led basically from wire to wire, held off every attempt Ohio State made. Buckeyes did make a pretty good late push, but the final, 71-65. And I want to start off by saying this was an absolutely unbelievable environment. And I think before we get into the nitty gritty here and really break down this game and what I saw tonight, I think we all need to take just a second and appreciate that college basketball games like this did not happen last year. I was sitting here as this game was getting started and realizing that the last time I heard fans really, I recognize that there were, it was decently loud at some of the Ohio State games, to open the season. The Akron game, the students brought it. The Nuthouse was loud. But there's nothing like a packed arena. We all know this. And the last time I had been in a packed arena was on Michigan State Senior Day in 2020, on that Sunday before the whole world shut down. This had been a long time coming. And to get to experience something like this was a joy. It was, you could just feel how much this meant to people. You saw a packed student section. You saw fans standing up and screaming and yelling and jumping and just felt the jubilation of a big moment. You felt the environment, the atmosphere, the emotion. You felt the nerves at the end when Ohio State made it a 2-point game in the last minute. There was so much that took place in this game, and this was all in front of a crowd that was here for it. And obviously Ohio State would like it to have turned out differently. And there are certainly some concerns with where this team is at the moment, but man, is it great to have college basketball back like this. I just kept thinking that throughout the game, just how lucky I am to get to do this for a living and to get to experience an environment like this. And I actually got very lucky with this game as well, because the Fox FS1 broadcast crew was not here in person. And so the table, the courtside table where they would normally sit, was empty. And so they put a couple of writers down courtside. So I sat at center court courtside for an unbelievable environment on a night that, yes, Ohio State will lament. But to get to do this, I don't ever want to lose sight of just how lucky I am and how great of an environment this was and how great of a sport college basketball is. I hope that really comes across in my work and as I do things like this. So I'm sitting here, it's just past 11 o'clock. I've written my game story and I dropped some quotes in there. I published post-game interviews, the video interviews rather, with Chris Holtman, EJ Liddell, and Michi Johnson. Those are all available online. And I've filed my notebook, which by the time you hear this will be up and available on dispatch.com and buckeyeextra.com. But like I said, the final in this one, Xavier 71, Ohio State 65. And you run down the stat sheet, there's a couple of things that jump out right off the bat. Jamari Wheeler, in 35 minutes and 52 seconds, finished with 6 points, didn't score until very late. He played the most minutes of anybody on this Ohio State team. Finished with 6 assists and 2 turnovers, which I did look this up. He is now, for the season, at 18 assists and 3 turnovers. So take that for what it's worth. And he obviously needs to give them more, I think, offensively, and he needs to be more of an offensive threat. But 18 assists and 3 turnovers, you'll take a 6-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. EJ Liddell did a lot of the heavy lifting. He led Ohio State with 17 points on 7 of 14 shooting. A lot of it was grunt work. He was only 1 of 3 from 3. So he was really trying to get the ball down low. Finished with 7 rebounds and 8 blocks. Career high 8 blocks. The first Buckeye to block 8 shots in a game since Dallas Lauderdale did it against North Carolina A&T in the 2010 season. So that was noteworthy. He was active. Let's put it that way. Also had 2 shots blocked, which accounts for 2 of his 7 misses. Michi Johnson, who I felt really took a step forward tonight overall, in 23 minutes and 50 seconds, he had 14 points. He was 5 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3. He hit a free throw, finished with 3 assists and 3 turnovers. Justin Arnes in 15 minutes and 57 seconds, 0 for 2 from the floor, 3 free throws, 3 points, 1 assist, 1 turnover. Zed Key, 17 minutes, 10 seconds. He was 3 of 7 from the floor for 6 points. Only had 2 rebounds. I think that's not ideal for Ohio State in a game where toughness was talked about a lot afterward, and the rebounding battle was cited by Chris Holtman as a reason why they lost this game. Your starting center has 6 points and 2 boards in 17 minutes and 10 seconds. That's a little, I don't know, concerning, because I thought Zed has played pretty well to this point, but you need more from him, certainly when it comes to the glass. Malachi Branham got the start. And in 27 minutes and 50 seconds, he was 3 of 11 from the floor, finished with 7 points, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, had some aggressiveness, had some good plays, but definitely showed some more freshman moments tonight. Had one of his turnovers, he just simply lost the ball. It just flew right out of his hands. And that came during a rough first half for Ohio State, where the Buckeyes finished with 9 of their 13 turnovers, some of which were self-inflicted. But I thought that Xavier's length really affected Ohio State, and I'll get into that more in a moment. Joey Brunk had 4 minutes and 38 seconds off the bench and finished with a rebound and a foul. And then Kyle Young, 31 minutes and 10 seconds off the bench, 3 of 6 from the floor. He hit a 3. He had 5 free throws. He was 5 for 5 from the line, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers. And then finally, Gene Brown III, in 11 minutes and 19 seconds, he was 0 of 4 from the floor, 2 of which were 3s, 2 of which were 2s. And, and one of those shots was blocked, but he finished with a career high 8 rebounds. He drew 3 fouls. He had an assist, a turnover, a steal. I feel like we're seeing some things from Gene Brown. We'll talk more about him in a moment, but I thought there's some good things there to like about where he's starting to develop. Xavier was led. They had a kind of a balanced attack. Paul Scruggs, who I'm going to write about for Saturday's paper. Paul Scruggs, 14 points, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 6 rebounds, 5 of 13 from the floor, but had just an unbelievable dunk that about blew the roof off this place right as Ohio State had cut it to 2 in the final minute. Jack Nungy, old Iowa nemesis, 14 and 14. And really, he had 6 offensive rebounds. Xavier as a team had 16 offensive boards, although they only turned that into 9 second chance points. So it didn't directly correlate to getting the ball and putting it right back in, but it did extend possessions. It forced Ohio State to do more things defensively, to exert itself more at that end. And it clearly had an impact as the game went on. And Nungy was huge in that. He had 6. So did Colby Jones, who finished with 12 boards, 6 on the offensive end, 6 on the defensive end. Nate Johnson had 12 points for Xavier. And Jerome Hunter, Pickerington kid, significant Ohio State recruit, eventually signed with Indiana, transferred to Xavier. He had a rough game, 1 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, finished with 4 points, 5 boards in 21 minutes and 28 seconds. But one of the first takeaways that I had from this game as I watched the opening, as I watched the first couple of minutes and leading into the first half, I felt like Ohio State was getting good looks, but they were not finishing those good looks. And they were good looks around the rim. They were getting to spots where you would expect guys to finish. In some ways, it reminded me when you go back to Holtman's first year, and this wasn't quite to the same extent because the stakes weren't the same, and just in general, this reminded me of this, but when they played Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament, after having beaten South Dakota State in the first round, they were out there in Boise, Idaho, and they get Gonzaga in the second game. A Gonzaga team that had run them off the court in the PK-80 earlier in the season. But Ohio State could not buy a bucket. They just, I remember Jayshon Tate having layups just roll out, Kata missing at the rim. Just they could not get the ball to go through. And this reminded me of that a little bit, but Xavier's length and athleticism and size, the likes of which Ohio State has not seen yet this season, I felt like significantly impacted this game. And I thought that you saw that in some of those early struggles. Look at Ohio State. In the first half, the Buckeyes shot 33.3% from the floor. They were 10 of 30 from the field. They only got to the line three times. They were 3 of 3 from the line in the first half. For the game, Ohio State finished 23 for 61 from the field. They shot 37.7%. Ohio State shot 41.9% in the second half. They took better care of the ball, and they seemed to settle in a little bit and figure out how to handle some of that athleticism, some of that size that I felt like really, really gave them fits early on. One of the stats that I looked up at the end, Ohio State on layups was 9 of 23. Xavier was 14 for 28. In a 6-point win, when Xavier was 5 of 24 from 3. So Xavier shot 20.8% from 3, and the Musketeers came in shooting 25% from 3 as a team. So this was not a team that you expected to beat you from deep. And Ohio State eventually switched to a zone for a good portion of the game, and that really seemed to give Xavier some issues. But that discrepancy in finishing at the rim and finishing on layups was eye-opening to me. And I think that was eye-opening to Ohio State. And I think that's one of those things that when you talk about why they're banking on this team being a better team in January than it is right now, is because players like Michi Johnson and Malachi Branham, and to an extent, Gene Brown and some of these other guys are going to have a better feel for that. I think that there's real belief that this team can adapt to that level and we'll figure it out. They're not there yet. They're definitely not there yet. And I honestly, this was a closer game than I thought it would be. I felt like Ohio State was walking in to a buzzsaw tonight. And I don't know that this is an all world beating type of team of Xavier team here, but I just thought the experience and the athleticism and the size was really going to impact Ohio State. And I think we saw that, but then you saw Ohio State settle in a little bit and find a way late to at least make it interesting. So we'll talk about that more here in a moment. I do want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, and wherever else you enjoy the world's finest podcasts. While you're subscribing, if you would, please leave a review, leave a rating, 5 stars, all those things. It's all very, very much appreciated. Thank you to everyone who has taken the time to do that. It's probably going to be the last podcast from our great state of Ohio. I will be flying to Florida on Saturday night to get ready for the Fort Myers tip-off, where Ohio State will face Seton Hall on Monday. That's a dangerous Seton Hall team that just went to Michigan and won. So buckle up. This could be a little bit of a bumpy early part of the season here for Ohio State. But I would say expect the next podcast leading into that game. I'm anticipating some sort of media availability on Sunday. And then I'll start kind of parsing that out and have something leading into that game on Monday. But if you're subscribed, it'll just pop right into your phone or tablet or whatever. So the other sort of big, and it's, I don't even know if it's really news, but we got confirmation today that Justice Suing is going to be out for a while. We just don't know how long or exactly what's going on, other than it's officially listed as an abdominal injury. And he's going to miss, quote, an extended amount of time. But there's no official timetable that's been given, and there's no official diagnosis on the injury. I have heard from one source that we're looking at 5 to 6 weeks before he is back. I've had another source say that it could be that. It could be longer. 5 to 6 weeks from now would take us into January, so he'd be trying to work his way back into things in Big Ten play. He's going to continue to rehab the injury, rest the injury. We'll see where that takes him and where the next, how the next couple of weeks unfold. But he was missed in this game. And then I also think when Gene Brown goes down, you're seeing Gene seize upon some of these minutes that are in front of him. I think he's been a real pleasant surprise as the season has started. Just using his athleticism and his natural ability to impact games. I thought the way he hit the glass tonight on a night when Ohio State as a team did not collectively do very well with that was huge. I think I tweeted something during the game that he was doing Kyle Young type of things. And I think that's, if you can have another Kyle Young type of player on your roster, you take that. I thought that was, I've been impressed with his development through these first four games, especially given that he couldn't play a good portion of the offseason while he battled COVID and spent a lot of time in the hospital. So I think he's been a very pleasant surprise at the start of this game, or the start of the season rather. I think this game also showed you where the depth chart sits right now. And you've got your five starters, and then Kyle plays 31 minutes off the bench. Michi plays 24 minutes off the bench. Gene plays 11 minutes off the bench. And Joey Brunk plays almost 5 minutes off the bench. Jimmy Sotos, who was the subject of much derision by the Xavier student section, who had signs about him and were very much keyed in on trying to affect him and were booing the heck out of him in warmups. Jimmy Sotos did not play in this game. Cedric Russell did not play in this game. I don't know where those guys fit into the rotation going forward, other than to say that right now they're clearly behind two freshmen that Ohio State is banking on. And this might be a conversation to have here in the next couple of days, but I do think that so much talk about this team has been about how Malachi and Michi are going to grow and improve, and this team will improve with them. And it's a process. And, you know, we keep hearing January tossed around a lot as far as like this team being in a better position to compete at a high level when it gets to January than it is at this moment. I think if you're banking on all those things, I think it makes sense why you're riding freshman and a second year freshman in an environment like this over a fifth year transfer from Bucknell and a fifth year transfer from Louisiana. And that's gotta be tough for Jimmy and for Cedric. And I don't know that, I've got to think that there's a role for them at some point this season, because otherwise it sort of begs the question of what they're doing or what they're providing. Because I've got to think there's a role where these guys can help. But right now, it's deemed more important that the younger guys play through lumps, and maybe then you're looking at Jimmy and Cedric as potentially guys who can step in. And if things are not going well by December, January, that's when you start mixing them in a little bit more, because they are veteran guys. And maybe by then Cedric has acclimated to the level a little bit, and maybe Jimmy has fully distanced himself from the injury last season and is ready to make some sort of significant impact. But at this moment, that does not seem to be the plan for Ohio State. The plan is definitely go with the young guys, and that's going to pay off for us down the road. So that's one of the fascinating subplots of the season for me, is just how those guys can develop. And I thought we really saw some things from Michi. Just the confidence, and he's going to make some mistakes here and there. You see that when you look at three assists and three turnovers. The three turnovers led the team. Sometimes he just forces shots where he shouldn't, and he might throw a pass that he shouldn't. But I thought he looked a little bit more poised, a little bit more calm. He was ready to take big shots tonight. They didn't all go in, but he did not shy from the moment when he had the ball in his hands. He had one or two that really could have flipped the game, that just rimmed out. Just shots that looked good coming off his hand, that looked good when they hit the rim, and for whatever reason just didn't fall. But for him to have the confidence on a night when Ohio State was struggling offensively for long periods, for him to take 12 shots, I mean, he took the second most shots in this team behind EJ. I think there's something there. I'm starting to get a little bit better understanding of what Michi gives you, because I just didn't have an idea coming in. We haven't seen him in so long. You don't know what does a fully healthy Michi Johnson playing 20, 25 minutes a game look like. We did not know that. And I think we're starting to get some glimpses here and there that tell you that there is that upside that these coaches have talked about.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. At Rosati Windows, their commitment to the customer has not changed since day one. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he appreciates each and every one of their customers. At Rosati Windows, they pride themselves on their very high standards of business ethics and customer satisfaction. They are accredited with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, a top business with Consumer Choice, and voted by Central Ohio as the best in business in the window category with the Columbus Dispatch. The list goes on and on, but it's important to point out that their customers voted for Rosati Windows for these awards, and it's why they can make a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
So I essentially thought that with about 8 minutes and 10 seconds left, it looked like this one was over. Ohio State had just, they had trailed by as many as 11, and down eight, E.J. Liddell was called for a charge, and then Justin Arnes had a bad foul. He reached back as Adam Kunkel faked a three-point attempt, and Justin ran past him, like I'm sure he's instructed to do. He ran him off the line and then just kind of threw his arm back behind him, but he also hit him in the process. And that led to three free throws. He hit two of them. Ohio State's down 54-44 here with 8:10 to go. That's where Ohio State kind of started to dig in a little bit. And some of it was because they started playing a zone defense that threw Xavier off its game a bit. Zed Key scored with a hook, a right-handed hook shot. Then Ohio State threw out the zone. Kunkel missed a three. Kyle Young drew a foul, hit the 1-1. So now it's 54-48. With about 7 minutes to go, Kunkel missed another three, and this is where Michi hit a three that or had a three that just rimmed out. And so you're still down 54-48. You're getting to about 6 minutes left. Paul Scruggs has a drive, but it doesn't fall. So Ohio State's got the ball down six. EJ gets fouled. He hits a free throw. So down five. So it's a 5-0 run. Ohio State gets the ball back. Still down five. After their zone again forces a three-point miss. And then this is the sequence where Gene Brown gets hurt. And it was a lot of things happening. And once the ball was flying around, there was a couple of offensive rebounds, just a lot of bodies flying everywhere. And then Gene Brown gets hurt. And so when he goes out, then and he can't shoot the free throws, Xavier picks Zed Key to go to the line for a 1-1. This is with 5:13 to go. And Zed misses the front end of the 1-1. Then Xavier comes down at the other end and gets a three. This was Nate Johnson hits a three from the left corner. The place goes nuts. It's an 8-point lead. You start to think that maybe this is over, especially then when on the next possession, Ohio State turns it over. But then you get a miss, another 3-point miss from Xavier. And then after Ohio State calls timeout with 4:18 to go, Michi hits a three. So this makes it a 5-point game. And then they trade some buckets. Michi scores on a drive to cut it to three. Xavier calls timeout with 3:20 left. Xavier pushes it to five. EJ scores. Xavier pushes it to five again. Zed has a miss. Zed fouls Nungi. So now Ohio State's down 63-56. With exactly 2 minutes to go, Ohio State is down 63-56. At this point, you're starting to think it's over. When Michi finds Kyle for an and one, to make it a 4-point game with a minute 34 to go. But then Scruggs scores. Then EJ hits a three. So it's 65-62. Xavier calls timeout. And this to me was a really fascinating little wrinkle that I noticed. And Travis Steele talked about it afterward, the Xavier coach, where Ohio State hadn't played zone here in a little while. Been four or five straight possessions where the Buckeyes had just played straight up man. So Xavier calls timeout, draws up a play. But they drew up two plays. They said, okay, if it's going to be man, we're running this. If it's going to be zone, we're running this. Either way, we're getting the ball to Paul Scruggs, and he's going to deliver for us. So Ohio State throws the zone out, which had done so well, but Xavier was ready. And Scruggs took the ball from, like, the right wing and kind of went around a curl. And then right where the defender who's under the basket should be, they set a screen. And I'm not sure exactly who it was for Ohio State that was under the basket, but he could not get there. I think it was EJ. And Scruggs just throws down this dunk, and this place just went bonkers. It's the kind of dunk that, I mean, Xavier fans are going to be watching that clip for the next 100 years because it was impactful. It was powerful. It got this place just going absolutely bonkers. At that point, it's like, all right, it's over. There's like 30-odd seconds left, and Xavier's up five. Well, then Jamari Wheeler hits a three off a nice pass from Michi to pull Ohio State within two. And then here's where I got deja vu for just half a second. So 16.3 seconds left. Ohio State's down two. And Ohio State fouls Scruggs to stop the clock. So he goes to the line for a 1-1 with 16.3 seconds left. Very similar to when Greg Oden fouled Justin Cage with about 7 seconds left the last time these teams played, down two. He goes to the line for a one or to shoot two, makes the first, misses the second. Ron Lewis happens. Mike Conley ends up going pro. Ohio State goes to the title game. We all know this, the story there, but that does not happen in this case. Scruggs hits the free throw, hits both of them rather, puts Xavier back up four. And at that point, then not a whole lot more that Ohio State could do. Michi had a turnover, but they're out of time at that point. And so that's how this one finishes out. But I just thought that I never really thought Ohio State was going to win this game. It just seemed like Xavier always had an answer, but Xavier never quite put them away. And whether that's a credit to Ohio State or a criticism on Xavier, I can't definitively say. But I think the fact that things were really difficult for Ohio State for long stretches of this game, but they found a way to make it a two-point game in the last minute, I think maybe that's an indicator that there are better things ahead, that this isn't the start of an epic collapse. I think I haven't gone through my Twitter mentions at the moment. I was trying to be in the moment as best I could in this game and experience this seat in this arena and this crowd and this environment, and try to have that all filter into what I was writing and the podcast that I'm doing right now. So I haven't gone through all the Twitter mentions. I'm assuming that they're not good. And I'll get to some of those criticisms and things. And there's certainly a lot to take out of this. And one thing is that Chris Holtmann and EJ Liddell talked a lot about this team's got to be tougher. And I think that's a fair point to make. And that's a tough thing as a journalist to say to question a team's toughness, because that's a good way to really tick off a lot of people and maybe show that maybe you don't know what you're talking about. You've got to be very certain if you're throwing out adjectives like that, because that can really offend a team, a program, a player, a coach. But this was what Ohio State talked about a lot after this game, was a lack of toughness. And they kind of had an idea that, or at least the environment they were going to be walking into. The fans were lined up here well before 9 a.m., at least the students were. Chris Holtman said when they got to shoot around at 11 o'clock that there were 250 of them, and they were not super polite as the bus rolled in. There's a lot of emotion in this arena tonight. There's a lot in this game for Xavier. It doesn't go Ohio State's way in the end, but I'm glad I got to be here for it. And I do think that it will teach Ohio State a couple of lessons that I'm very interested to see now, how they turn this into, or how they'd carry this into the Seton Hall game. Because that's going to be really tough. I mean, Seton Hall's, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of similarities to the Xavier team. They're big. They've got some depth, or they've got some older dudes. I'm very interested to see what that game looks like on Monday. But before that, I got to pack up my stuff. I got to drive back to Columbus tonight. I got to get the kids on the bus in the morning, and I got to get ready to go to Florida. So if you're going to Florida, give me a shout. Let me know. Maybe we can figure something out as far as like a meetup or some kind of something where we can all grab an adult beverage, and I'll have my whole family there. We're all making the trip. So maybe we can all figure something out collectively. Give me a shout, tweet me, email me, let me know if you're going to be there. And in between now and then, I'm very excited because the Oasis Nebworth 1996 concert is officially available as of Friday. I'll be picking up my vinyl copy and my CD copy, because I don't believe the vinyl comes with a download, because that's just how I roll. Go pick it up. Can't wait to have that in my hands. I'm probably going to listen to the Hamilton soundtrack on the drive down today, which was really fun. I haven't listened to that in a while. Might listen to that on the drive back. Keep me engaged and alert. We'll see. But as always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you to Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, for putting this all together. I'll be back with you from sunny Florida. Hopefully it's sunny sometime here, probably Sunday night or Monday. So look for that then. Until then, thanks.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.